This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. So stay with me and enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Work From Home podcast today. With me is Alice, and you know, she sent me a brief about a week or two ago. And when I was reading it, I was like, this is a content everybody will be able to relate to it. And you are going to enjoy it because she's going to share with us her personal story, how she, you know, was working in the corporate world. And she did climb up the ladder really well, and then she was making a lot of money. But at some point, she decided, you know, I need to switch roles and want to learn from her own personal experience today. So, Alice, please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, I'm Alice Saunders. I am currently the owner of Tales from an Untamed Soul. It is a travel blog. So hello from beautiful North Carolina in the United States.
Yeah. And another interesting thing I like about Alice is the fact that she's also someone who is always on the road. Remember, we had Matthew. Yes, I remember. Matthew was also someone who was working from the road. And as at the time we had him on this show, he had traveled about half the United States, hoping to complete the remaining half in the next 3 years or so. I really can't remember the number he puts to it. So, before we delve into your traveling lifestyle, we want to understand what it was like working in the corporate world and some of the things it took from you to be able to climb up the ladder.
Being in the corporate world was not what I thought it was going to be. On television, it looks so glamorous. Everybody looks so beautiful. Everybody looks like they're having fun. I don't know, maybe it was just the TV shows I was watching, but it looks so glamorous and amazing. And really, it was everybody trying not to be in trouble, the CYA, cover your ass, right? And so there was not, depending on the company that I was with, there was not a camaraderie. Where there was this unified group of people working toward a singular effort. There was a lot of wasted time of people fighting or trying to make something that didn't go well someone else's fault, rather than in a brainstorming situation saying, oh, we tried this, good for us. We're thinking out of the box. We're trying new things that didn't work. Let's retool and try it again. And so that part of it was actually surprising to me. And honestly, I thought once I started making six figures, you know, in my salary, I literally believed, this is so silly, that like this cloud of happiness was going to open up to me. And suddenly, I was going to be so amazingly happy, you know, six figures. I didn't even go to college. I had very little college, didn't graduate with a degree. And so working my way up after all of those years to finally achieve a six-figure salary, which I never believed was possible without a degree, you know, I just thought, oh my gosh, I've made it. I'm going to be so happy. And I was so miserable.
Oh my. I mean, one of the reasons why personally I also chose not to go into the office lifestyle was personal experiences I had during my internship and during my graduate internship also, because we have a six-month internship while we're in graduate school. We have a one-year internship after we are done with the graduate school. So the both experiences were not it at all, because it was the first part, it was always the HR at loggerheads with the networking people. The second time, it was probably... since I was an intern, a full-time staff would try to shift the blame onto me so that she or he would not have to get a query. But right. I did not think that was acceptable. So I always fought back. I always let them know, even if you're going to shift the blame on me, even if you want me to carry some weight of this blame, you have to let me know. You can't just come at a meeting and then throw a surprise kick and expect me not to fight back. So looking at all those experiences, I was like, no, this is not for me. And I tried so hard to make sure I did not go through the office life, and I didn't. And it's so surprising when we are talking about a country like the USA, where everybody wants to live in the USA, and now we are hearing the same thing, or even worse still happens with the corporate world, where even at making six figures, you still feel miserable. Is it something about the office culture, or just pure human, personality to make sure that you have to step on some people before you can climb up the ladder? I don't really understand this, but because personally, I feel like for us working from home or on the road as you are, you get a lot of freedom, and the type of interactions you have with other people, they are always much more constructive. They are always much more progressive. Nobody's trying to pull you down, at least for all the times I've been working from home. Can I get some comments on that?
Absolutely. Honestly, I think that it's where people are in their lives, what trauma that they've healed, what tools that they have, and what they've been taught in their families, and how they're brought up in their first jobs, right? Who's around them to show them how the business goes. I think that I know for me, it's when in an area where I hadn't healed a lot of my childhood trauma, it was devastating. And I mean devastating for me to have made a mistake, right? And so it was so hard for me to say that I did something wrong. I was consumed with the need, not even desire, but need to be perfect, right? Because in my childhood, when I wasn't perfect, bad things happened, right? I got in trouble in a bad way with my family and my parents. And so it created this personality, if you will, of perfectionism. I've got to be perfect. I can't be wrong. And so, if someone else is like that in a situation, right, at work, neither one of us is going to want to be wrong. And so we're going to fight to not be wrong. And so, that is just one example of how in a workplace, in a relationship, in a friendship, that you can have two people with very similar coping mechanisms to get through life that aren't going to be able to admit, look, I messed up. I'm going to take full accountability and responsibility for that decision. I can do that now with the person that I am, right? But when I was in my 20s and 30s, I wasn't capable of that. I didn't have the tools. I hadn't learned those things yet. I hadn't looked at my childhood to see, oh, this is really what happened. This is why I was acting that way. So let me delve into that. Let me work on that. Let me heal that so that I can today be the woman in front of you saying, to the best of my ability, right? I'm not going for perfectionism anymore. I'm going for real. I'm going for authentic, vulnerability. I'm going to stand here and say, I really messed that up. I'm so sorry. I'm going to take full responsibility for that. So I think that it really depends on where everybody is. And we are right now a society of cancel culture around the world, I think. Which is not open to that vulnerability, is not open to people saying, oh, wow, I really messed that up. I'm going to work to fix that. We just want them dead and gone. We want to never hear from them. And so by doing that as a culture, we're actually stifling people's ability to grow, people's ability to be accountable. So that's what makes me nervous about cancel culture, but we see it in the workplace. That's essentially cancel culture, right? And so just that deflection of, it can't be my fault. I don't have the tools to deal with whatever's coming at me. And so I think that's really where we go wrong in the workplace, rather than bringing about open communication, fostering brainstorming, mm-hmm. fostering thinking outside the box, you know, working together to solve problems for businesses. You know, and it's, I've been in one corporation who was like that. Mm. It was amazing. We got so much done. We made more revenue than the company had ever seen in its entire history. Mm. And then I go to this other company, which is exactly the opposite. And it was the ultimate of misery, truly.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I really love some of the things you touched there, especially when you talked about coping mechanisms. You know, different people have different coping mechanisms, but at the same time, it feels like as if the workplace, as you said, there was a workplace where you were, where growth was being fostered and communication was great, and I mean brainstorming was great, and then there was another place where everything was miserable. And for me, I feel like a lot of companies are at that position, are structured in that position that gives room for a lot of strife, that gives room yes. for a lot of people falling at loggerheads. And I believe if companies really want to grow, they would want to position themselves internally to be formidable. And formidable is not always about competing with each other in the office. It's about collaborating right. with each other.
I think that, you know, in entrepreneurship, there's an ownership, right? Mm. It's mine. I know that when I left the corporate world and opened my first company, which was a bookkeeping company, I was terrified. I was so terrified because it all came back on me, right? The security of a guaranteed paycheck, even if I was mediocre, I was probably still going to get that paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of the aspects of the business, from marketing that business to the books to, you know, invoicing, like every aspect was someone else. It was the company's responsibility, right? Yeah. It was up to them. If it fell apart, they needed to figure out how to fix it. I was just there to do my piece of the pie, which I did really well. But now as an entrepreneur, all of it is mine. And that is, in some respects, stepping out of the corporate world into my own business for the first time was terrifying, but it was also liberating in the fact that I had control over myself. No longer did I have to live by someone else's moral code. Mm. I could live by my own. I could not take a client who did animal testing because mm-hmm. that was contrary to my moral code, mm-hmm. right? In the business world, I had to suck up a lot of things that did not correspond with my morality.
Exactly.
And so no longer did I have to do that. But I think that when you are in entrepreneurship, you have access to all of the pieces of the puzzle. It allows you to see the full scope of everything, and it allows you to free yourself of the box that the corporate world puts you in. You can live in a world where anything is possible. Anything, right? And so you have that ability to free your mind, to free your soul, to create, to drive, where everything is limitless. You know, there wasn't even brainstorming practically allowed at some of the businesses I had worked for. So to go the opposite direction where let me create whatever it is that I want with that limitless potential, it is so exciting. And then you can collaborate with other people. I have a great marketing person that I use. So there's lots of collaboration and brainstorming about where do I want to take my business? What things do I want to be doing? What things do I want to be including? You know, and to have someone that you can put your mind together, so you're brainstorming together, right? Times two. You know, now you're having exponential results, opportunities, ideas. And then getting in touch with other business owners and collaborating on items there as well, right? Cross promotions, things like that. And so I think that that's why entrepreneurship is so attractive to people, because I think that, you know, it's time for all of us to free our minds. It's time for all of us to tap into our heart's desire. What is in our soul that is really going to bring us happiness?
True. So now let's go to the real topic of today. We've had a lot of background. The real issue, and I said the topic would be about some things you wish you knew before you were 30. So summarily, in about like 45 minutes, give us some of the lessons you feel would have made you better positioned, either for the corporate or the entrepreneurship lifestyle before, I mean, even knew them before you were 30, you would have gone really, really far.
I think that the first thing is that anything is possible. Like I just said, I, at 30, I didn't know that. And I didn't believe that. And I didn't even understand what that meant. You know, now as a travel blogger, this is a life that, like, the 7-year-old me holding the glossy National Geographic magazines, looking through at those wild animals, you know, those intriguing faces of people on those pages. You know, that little girl just didn't believe that that life was for her. She did not believe that, you know, she could ever own a business. I was told I could be president, but I was also told that I would always work for someone else. You know, that I wasn't brought up in a house where you could own your own business. That just was never a dialogue that was ever there. And so, you know, it took a lot of soul healing for me to understand that truly anything is possible. I have really enjoyed playing the game. What would you do if there were no limits? And that was how I got in touch with that little girl whose dream it was to be a travel blogger, to travel, see, and have adventure, and, you know, have excitement and have these new experiences and meet new people. So, you know, I dreamed that up through playing that game. And it touched my heart's desire. And I went, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And literally, I changed my whole world in a year and a month.
Wow.
I was never taught about abundance and that there's enough for everyone. And so that was really difficult when you're stepping out into entrepreneurship and you have a lot of limiting beliefs that you're not going to make money, that you're going to be poor, that money doesn't grow on trees. You know, you hear all these things as a kid and you don't realize how that impacts your thought process, because your beliefs create your thoughts create your emotions, right? And the emotions create our reality. And so understanding that dynamic really transformed my life, because it allowed me to go back and really do the work. And this is a lifelong process, but to go back and do the work, look at my beliefs and say, what do I believe about myself? And when I really did the work and sat down, I was very limiting myself. I definitely was very far from believing anything was possible, because I still believed I wasn't good enough at anything. And so, you know, going through and looking at what is it that I believe about relationships, marriage, sex, money, that transformed who I was as a person, which then transformed my outer life, because that those beliefs were driving my reality. So when I believed that I loved myself, that I was enough, that I had the power to create an amazing, powerful, exciting, adventurous life, I did. And I'm living that today. Without that work, I would not be here. Mm. But imagine at 30, if I had had that, what I would have been doing. I can't imagine that I would have continued in the corporate world, because I think once you get to that level of awareness and freedom and what's going to make me happy, at least for me, it wasn't inside of a building. It's outside for me.
Yeah.
Outside heals me. It excites me. It drives me. You know, that's my happy place, out in the sunshine with trees and animals. So that definitely tells you why I was so miserable in an office where there were no trees, no sunlight, and definitely no animals.
Additionally, I would say that learning to love myself has been the hardest and most challenging lesson that I am still very much struggling with. I think that, like life and most of the things that we've talked about today and the lessons of life that are going to bring me ultimate happiness and joy in my life, are lifelong lessons that I just continue to learn and build upon as the universe gives me experiences every day in my life, these little gold nuggets to be able to learn from and to grow if I so choose to grab onto them, to take advantage of situations that happen in my life and see how I can use that as a gift to grow.
So would you say, as an entrepreneur, it's life becomes so way easier for you if you are doing stuff you are very passionate about?
Absolutely. I think your whole life becomes easier. That was actually one of my beliefs, believe it or not, was that life and work have to be hard. And when I really delved into that one and really looked at why I had had that belief, and then considering, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't have to be so hard? What if it could be easy? What if it could be fun? What if it could be exciting and adventurous and glorious? What if it could be something beyond anything that you had ever dreamed? So that was just like, blew my mind, right? Once I got to that point. So absolutely, it can transform all of your outer experiences for sure.
Wow, wow. Thank you so much for bringing all this on the table, because this is very insightful, very interesting. So as we're trying to round up the show, I also want you to tell us what it has been like, I mean, working from the road.
Well, internet connection can be very difficult in many places that you go. But the universe is awesome. I have been able to overcome so many fears, some that I didn't even know that I had, because sitting at my home in Dallas, Texas, I certainly wasn't going over a bridge practically every day, to really understand how terrified of bridges that I was. So really have delved into those fears. Also spiders, had no idea that I was so terrified of large spiders. And now I can relocate spiders outside of a house all by myself. I no longer have to call my husband. But life on the road is amazing. You know, it pushes my boundaries and limits. I was dying in the daily routine at home, where I sat on the couch in the same spot. You know, all of my toiletries were in the same spot. The kitchen stuff was in the same spot. I did the same thing at the same time every single day. And so that routine, I was dying in. There was nothing pushing me, pushing me to be a better person, pushing me to look at myself in a different perspective. Being on the road, we relocate every week to 30 days. And so I am constantly being in a new place, faced with new challenges. I never know where I'm going. If you're ever behind my car, which has a label, Tales from an Untamed Soul, on the back window, if you ever see me driving, stay out of my way. I never know where I'm going. You know, but that's awesome. It's amazing because it pushes you to be fully present in your life. You don't know where anything is. You don't know where you're going. You know, but you have these incredible people that I've met along the way that have gifted me something from that interaction. And my boundaries are pushed. I am so much more confident. I take up so much more space in the world now because of that confidence, and because of these experiences healing me, shaping me, pushing me, educating me. It has been so much more transformative even than I thought that it would be.
Okay, great. Thank you so very much. And I would like to say this, if you'd like to continue this conversation with Alice and you want to be able to, you know, brainstorm with her, get some ideas about, I mean, some of our life's experiences, what it feels like to be on the road, what it feels like to be a travel vlogger, what it feels like to be a bookkeeper, anything at all, just make sure to follow her on the social media links that I'll be dropping in this show notes. And also you should be able to connect with her on our website. Do you have any freebies that you give people?
Yes, on the website, if you want to figure out how to work to travel, it's right there on the header as soon as you hit the website. And it is a great free ebook.
Okay, that is awesome. So, I mean, if you want to live the same lifestyle as she's living, there's a free tool for you to get started. And if you want to work with her also, you will be able to do that by contacting her. I'm very sure there's a contact me button right there on our website. So any last words for our listeners?
I just wanted to say that if you have not subscribed yet to this podcast and you're listening, please hit that subscribe button. And thank you so much. This has been awesome. And I just wish for all of your listeners here to remember that anything is possible.
Thank you very much. And let me say bye to everyone. And don't forget what she said right now. Anything, and she means it when she says anything is possible. For her to have come from a background where she was limited by her beliefs and to be standing in front of us today telling us anything is possible, you better believe that. Have a nice day, everyone. Bye. Wow. Thank you very much. I really